Russian forces have been continuing their bombardment of the Donbass region of eastern Ukraine. Thousands of troops have surrounded the cities of Severodonetsk and Lysychansk. Russia already controls large swathes of territory in that area. For more, we can talk to Patrick Bury, who's a lecturer in Defence and Strategic Studies at the University of Bath. Thanks for being with us this morning. What's your read, your assessment of what's happening in and around Severodonetsk at the moment?
Good morning, Rachel. Yeah, well, I think for your listeners, essentially what you have is a kind of a pocket in that area where the Russians surround them on three sides in the Donbass. And essentially what's happened is they've got their act together a bit more from what we've seen in the early parts of the campaign. They now have only really one area where they're trying to advance, as opposed to four at the start when they tried to conquer the whole of Ukraine. And because of that, they can concentrate their forces, not only their sort of maneuver forces like their tanks and their personnel carriers, but also their artillery. And what we're seeing is when they do that, in certain locations, they are able to punch through. And what they're trying to do really is to force the Ukrainians in that pocket to make a decision, either to withdraw or to stay and fight and risk the chance of being cut off. So it's a difficult decision for the Ukrainians too, to know exactly what to do. Should we withdraw? And so far, it looks like, given the speed of the Russian advance in some of the villages and towns, it looks like they have been deciding to withdraw rather than risk getting completely cut off from their logistics and resupply. So that's essentially what's happening. In terms of the wider like strategic implications of this, it's difficult to discern at the moment. The Ukrainians would have been expecting this. And so they've prepared defensive lines, but they're obviously trying to hold out for as long as they can before they're forced to withdraw. The ultimate Russian goal is obviously to take, the first of all, if they can, the whole of the Donbass, Luhansk region, where these cities would be important logistical hubs, which would allow them to move again if they desire to. But the question is actually how much, combat power, how much offensive power do the Russians have to be able to keep rolling, even if they take some of these cities, which is not even a given at the moment.
How important is it, though, for Vladimir Putin? I mean, is it fair to say that it's very important for him that his forces take control of this area?
Very important. I think it's like the next military objective. That's what they want to do. His wider strategy, I think, if he could, and again, he'll chance his arm here, but if he could, he'd go as far as the Dnieper. And you can see that the city of Dnipro was shelled last night. We've seen an increasing of missile and shelling on a number of cities just in the last 24 hours, which had died off for, at least 3 weeks or so. So I think, yes, in theory, if he takes the whole of the Donbass, if he can do that, that's one where he can turn to the Russian people and say, look, I've got Mariupol, I've got all the ports, and I've taken the Donbass. That's a successful mission. I think in the longer term, it's also interesting to see that Ukraine is likely to actually get stronger over the long term as it brings up its sort of civilian population and trains them, and NATO weapons and supplies start to really, flow in. And at the same time, you'd expect the sanctions on Russia to start affecting its sort of military preparedness. So in the longer term, I don't know how significant this part is if the war is to drag on, past certainly the end of the summer, which most mm-hmm. people think it will.
These are Russian-speaking areas, but is it clear where people's sympathies lie? I was looking at a report this morning about conditions in Severodonetsk, and I mean, it looked pretty grim there.
Yes, I think, and certainly, yeah, even further west, there's still like a high proportion of Russian speakers in that area, like in Slavyansk and stuff. But the, like the conditions there, especially when I'm under bombardment, are horrific, and a lot of people that I know sort of personally were faced with that, Russian speakers were faced with that difficult decision a good few months ago about whether they thought, what the Russians would be like when they arrived and whether they thought actually the combat fighting would wash over them. And I think the wiser decision was to err on the side of caution and just leave. And that's proved, wise for most people. But I think in terms of like what's happened is once the rounds, as they say, started going down, most of the Ukrainians, even be they Russian speakers, a lot of them, apart from in the really far east who are tied into the breakaway republics, a lot of them have been like, we can't believe the Russians are doing this to us, and we have want nothing to do with them. So it's a different situation now that the violence has started than it was beforehand, where people were also questioning the ability of Zelensky to govern and the corruption in the regime, where in the government, which has completely changed now. So you've seen this coherence around, even amongst Russian speakers, around the government, as you'd imagine, you know, if it was our own country, for example.
Patrick Bury, thanks indeed for joining us again on the programme. That was Patrick Bury, who's a lecturer in Defence and Strategic Studies at the University of Bath. It's coming up to 28 minutes past 7, and we'll be back with the news headlines after this break.